Friends, would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God gives that fruitless fig tree one more year. In all things, God is good and merciful. God may be merciful, but that is no reason to waste your life. God's mercy still demands fruitfulness of each of us. There it is. That's my sermon in a nutshell. For those of you who would like to tune out the remainder, you may now pick up your pew Bibles and begin to study, except for the pew Bible that I stole from Joyce. Those of you who are still tuned in will now receive a Lenten message. Reinhold Niebuhr once said that Christians in America would like to believe in a God without wrath that saves a world without sin through a Christ without the cross. No fruit produced there. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called this kind of faith cheap grace. So we come to the third Sunday of Lent, to the question of sin, suffering, and repentance. And if you were wondering if you were ever going to get a serious talking to from the pulpit while I was here, well, I'm not sure you are today either, but we'll do a little bit. Because I want to talk about suffering, and there's really two ways to look at this. One is to say it was caused by something, by someone's actions. A popular variant on this theme is, if you sin, bad things are going to happen to you in order to punish you for your sin, or bad things will happen to people that you love as part of God's punishment of you. There are two corollaries to this for those who believe in this schema. If something bad happens to someone, they must have sinned to do it. And if you are good, good things will happen to you because you deserve them. Now, if you were listening closely to the gospel this morning, you know that Jesus kind of blows that all out of the water when he says, do you think that the Galileans who suffered in this way were worse than the other Galileans? No. Jesus seems to support another view of suffering, that God doesn't send suffering as punishment for sin. Sometimes bad things just happen without explanation. God's judgment of sin is not the cause of all calamity. Life is uncertain. Death is capricious. Jesus says there's no simple explanation here. God is not an arbitrary punisher, but rather one who judges with compassion, one who is merciful in all things, one who gives even an unfruitful fig tree one more year. This, generally speaking, is the mainline UCC view of suffering. We may not understand it, but we don't blame God for it. God is merciful. God loves us. God is love. God offers grace to all. But in the very same breath, as Jesus says, do you think that those Galileans suffered in this way because they were worse sinners than all the others? No, I tell you, Jesus also says, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Barbara Brown Taylor says that in the South, this is what we call giving with one hand and taking away with the other. No, Jesus says, there's no connection between the suffering and the sin. Phew. But unless you repent, you're going to lose some blood too. God loves you. God is merciful. God's eye is on the sparrow, and you know God watches you. God would even have mercy on the unfruitful fig tree, and yet that does not free us from responsibility. In our 21st century mainline Christian lives, we seem to get off pretty easy. We get to focus on the institution of Christianity rather than the Christian life. In some churches, and I am not saying here, in some churches there is a resistance to fruitfulness. When our work as Christians either that of institutional life or our own soul searching gets too hard, we can say, I'm not doing that anymore. It's too hard. I want an easier, more peaceful, more fun, more convenient Christian life. Also, by the way, I come to church on Sunday morning for peace and refreshment, and then I go back to my real life. It doesn't matter what I do there, you know, because God is merciful. Well, that's a little bogus. So I'm going to speak a word of truth here, even the dissonant truth of Lent. Yes, the Christian message is hopeful, comforting, resurrection-filled, but it's also challenging. Calls us to bear the cross, to carry the load, to shovel the compost, and to bear a harvest full of fruit out into the world. The world is not a better place just because you've come to church this morning. In fact, you're not a better person just because you've come to church this morning. But maybe, just maybe, the world would be a better place because you take your faith out into it. Maybe you'll be a better person because God's mercy causes you to bear fruit. But it won't happen unless you make the effort. You've got to put God's call to you first, regardless of the difficulty. And so here it is. This is the Lent burden. Lent ought to feel hard. It ought to make you squirm in your seat. It ought to make you stare sheepishly down at your shoes, trying to avoid God's eyes. It ought to make you take out your wallet and look deeper into it, wondering where all of your money goes. It ought to make you look deeper into your life, wondering where all your time goes. It ought to make you look deeper into your relationships, wondering where all your love goes. And it ought to make you change something. Jesus' parable declares God is a just judge and merciful creator. The two are in balance. God doesn't send earthquakes or cyclones or cruel Roman governors. God sends a Messiah and messages of love and resurrection, but God still has demands of us that we bear fruit. And that image of bearing fruit, it starts in Genesis and ends all the way in Paul's letters. And one particularly beautiful image is Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, and you are the branches. There's something about being one fig tree in a vineyard with many others, on a farm full of plants, all rooted in good earth, all tended by that great gardener that ought to give us comfort. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We are part of God's good garden. Christ is the vine, and we are the branches, and we can bear good fruit. There's a lot of good fruit around here. From Faith Workshop to the Africa Exchange Project, from Church World Service Kits to shelter partnerships, from property management all the way to the Sunshine Crew. There is good fruit here. I want to tell you one personal story of fruit. It's actually a story of fruit candy. Our family friend John Henry had been in recovery for a year or two. Someone unexpected had invited him to his first meeting, dragged him there, really, insisted it was time for AA. It probably shouldn't have worked. I know it doesn't work often when you drag someone, but somehow it did, thank God. And he sat at a recovery banquet and found a new life. He was starving, at least spiritually and emotionally, and there he found food. He started to rebuild, or he was rebuilt. He connected or reconnected to God, who pruned and watered and spread good compost on John Henry's roots until he bore good fruit. And when his own fig tree was growing well once again, John Henry started tending the rest of the garden. He started a business, a strange and humble little business, a packing and shipping service, tucked into the back of a mini mall. For a certain period of time in Nashville, if you mail ordered candies from a small batch maker, John Henry's company was responsible for the bubble wrap and the box that that fruit candy traveled in. And the folks who worked there, they were all also in the early stages of recovery. It probably shouldn't have worked. But that business succeeded in every sense of the word. It turned a profit and it turned lives around. Someone looked at John Henry's fig tree and said, "One more year. A little more rain and a little more sunshine and a little more compost." Someone loved on him, and having grown into new life, he made it his business to invite more people to tend the other fig trees in the vineyard to new life and new fruitfulness. May whatever we do, as individuals or as a congregation, bear fruit in God's orchard. Amen.